이나 일러봐, 마이크. 이나
일러봐.
I completely forgot about that. Oh, no. Oh, the mic's not the stairs man?
Yeah. No, Mike's
the stairs man. Oh, you're the stairs man. I just don't do it.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are around the world. It's a very big welcome to the Dropkicks. I'm Dom.
I'm Hayden.
I'm Sideline Mike.
And we're here this week with a very big week in rugby. It's going to be a big rugby podcast this week because it was, in terms of controversy and upsets and great football. We're going to kick off with the intro. Hang on,
we just did the intro,
right? We're going to move past the intro then, and from there we'll get straight into the reviews. We'll do sports in general, the Six Nations, general rugby, some rugby league, a bit of cricket, the Commonwealth Games, Wacky Around the World is here again, Dick of the Week, Athlete of the Week, reviews from next week for next week's games. Okay, first game on tonight's agenda is the Crusaders versus the Cats. Mike, take us away.
Crusaders did their usual thing, started off extremely slowly. It took pretty much the introduction of Richie McCaw and Chris Jack, who didn't start the game.
When were they introduced?
After the halftime break, about 10 minutes into the second half.
What was the score at that point?
Yeah, halftime score was 12-all. McCaw and Jack were injected into the game. I guess they just lifted the rest of the Crusaders.
Must have lifted them a hell of a way, because the Crusaders ended up with 43 points.
Yeah, they did.
And the Cats were beat back to 15 points. The Cats can sort of walk away with their heads held high after scoring a couple of pushover tries against a much-vaunted Canterbury Pack.
Oh, like I said, they started well. Well, the much-vaunted Canterbury Pack was without Chris Jack and Richie McCaw when they got their pushover tries.
They do lord their depth, though.
And they've got no injuries.
Aaron Major played really well. He got a great try.
Saw that. It was an awesome kick.
Yeah, off the side of his boot. Did a Carlos Spencer type one.
He's a classic.
Their halfback, Andrew Ellis, when he came on, seemed to make a difference as well.
So, hang on, who did they take out?
Kevin
Senior.
The guy they paid big money for.
Yeah.
Well, have him back.
He'll last the season, bro, and then he'll be back to the Bay. I believe it's one of the first games that Rico Gear didn't score.
He didn't. Scott Hamilton, he played.
He scored. He's
quite well. Yeah, he set up a good try in the first half.
Being rated is Scott Hamilton.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got so much depth at wing. We don't need another one.
We don't need another one.
Anyone out there wanting a wing? Scott Hamilton's available.
Looks like he's Welsh. Ugliest front row in world rugby.
What are you saying about Scott Hamilton?
Oh, Crystal.
If you'd like to come online and dispute this, Scott Hamilton, give us a call. Okay, the next game we have is the Force versus the Waratahs. Mr. Green.
This was a another sort of blowout victory. Waratahs 32 points to 7 over the Force. The Waratahs had two tries to Wendell Saylor, a try to Alex Kinnear, and Will Caldwell conversions to Peter Hewitt, 3 of 4. He also got 2 of 3 penalties. The Force got a try to Haig Sayre, conversions to Brock James, and no penalties, but they did try and get one. Scott Deruda had the worst game of his life. 7 minutes in, Scott Deruda missed a simple penalty shot from right in front. Alex Kinnear charged down his clearing kick from the 22. That was Alex Kinnear's try. So the Waratahs were up 10-0. And then Deruda did this really weird, no one around him, and he just lay down on the paddock. And later on he said, oh, I had a tingling in my arm. And they brought in Brock James.
Just tingling in his arm? Throat type tingling?
Well, people are more calling it like a, I don't want to play anymore, I've got a tingling in my arm, I better lie down. Not to say that it wasn't, say, a stroke, but people are saying that he wanted to just come off. Wendell Saylor broke through the soft tackling on the blind side and tried to run in the ball himself quite close to the line, but was tackled and run out of bounds, even though there was an unmarked man beside him. The Waratahs went into the break 18-0. Matt Rogers was forced from the field later on with a head clash with the winger Haig Sayre. Once that happened, the Waratahs looked shaky. They had sort of no direction after that.
There's no depth at first five in Australian rugby, is there?
Having said that...
Gay.
Having said that, Wendell Saylor got a second try, so the score was 25-0. But then the Force struck back. Haig Sayre collected a loose ball from a Brock James kick and galloped over for the try. Scored right between the posts, 25-7.
Yay!
Well done, Force, a try. That's good. That deserves a big round of applause.
And then the Waratahs said we'd quite like a bonus point. Thank you very much. 32-7 was the final score.
All right, moving on. Bulls Hurricanes. This was a game the Hurricanes were not picked to win. It was the Bulls in Pretoria. Very strong. They've been performing very well. We didn't pick them to win.
I did.
If you check last week's podcast.
We should apologise at this point to everyone who used us as a guide to picks. We've got it wrong as well. We're really sorry about that.
Hey, when you're right 49% of the wrong time, you're wrong 51% of the time. Anyway, the headlines are saying things like the Tiamo Shocker gifts Canes a win. Now, this was an incident where the Bulls winger Nagane, I think his name is, Akona and Nagane, footed over the line and dived on the ball. He pressed down on the ball with the front of his torso, which the laws of the game say is a try. Now, I saw the replay of this over and over again, and at no point does he actually have any control of the ball.
In the laws of the game, there is nothing that says you have to have control when you push down for a try. It has to be the front of your torso, from the neck down to the waist. And you don't have to have control, all you have to have is downward pressure.
That's true, because often those ones where they put their hands out and the ball's skidding away, they don't have control in those ones.
Okay, then it was a knock-on, because it came off his chest.
Anyway, if it did bounce off his chest, that's okay, that's not a knock-on.
Yeah, good point.
Why not?
Because it's your arm.
That's why when the ball ricochets off someone's shoulder, it's not a knock-on.
And that's such a bizarre ruling that it's considered downward pressure in theory, you know, your hand is your chest, basically, but it's not your hand is your chest when you knock it on.
Well, I think the TMO made the wrong decision, for a start.
They fought bloody hard, they came back, they didn't give up, as Hayden was talking, we were talking about it earlier, and he said that the South African press said, look, we take our hats off to them, because they didn't give up, you know, we're going to dispute some of the TMO rulings, but basically they just kept on going. Good work, the Hurricanes, they scored tries to Shannon Paku and Andrew Hoare, so unfortunately missed out on the point there. David Hobble kicked 4 penalties, and Jimmy Gopith had 2 conversions. Yeah, they scored late in the game to win the game. Full marks to Ronnie Sewalo, who had a kickable penalty but went for the sideline from where they pushed over through the forwards to score a try, which is no mean feat against the Bulls forwards. All in all, a pretty good win for the Hurricanes. They won 2 out of 3 in South Africa, I think.
A damn good win for the Hurricanes.
So they come back to New Zealand with only 1 loss from their first 6 games. Just recapping there, Hurricanes beat the Bulls in Pretoria 26 points to 23. Next game was the Blues versus the Brumbies. Mike.
Ooh. Well, yeah. We didn't pick this one either.
The Kane game. I did.
Okay.
I did again. Just pick 2 of mine and 4 of theirs.
Look.
And you'll be fine. Tell us about the Blues Brumbies.
The Blues started off with a hiss and a roar, pretty much as they have throughout the season. The thing was, they carried on with it. So instead of playing for 10 minutes, they actually played for probably about 60 or 70. But that was enough for the win. Great games by Anthony Tuitavaki and Ruatapoki again.
They're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, 18 zip at halftime. To the Blues. Tries to Mr. Flavelle, actually got one. Anthony Tuitavaki and...
Probably put that boot in somewhere.
2 tries to the Brumbies. Clyde Rathbone got one and Joel Wilson.
That's good. It was but very much the upset win there. The Blues looking woeful all season have suddenly...
Yeah. Oh, they came right.
Apparently, well...
Well, they've got the talent.
They've basically got an all-black forward pack as well. I mean,
the Crusaders have got sort of the locks and the... Well, they've got a lock and flankers, and then the Highlanders have got the front row, and then the Blues have got the other half of the front row.
Highlanders got the Blues and the locks.
Oh, yeah, they've got the lock. Yeah. They've got James Ryan.
Well, it's just
pretty awesome.
and then it's the Hurricanes, of course, with their back row.
Oh, of course, yeah. They've got the other Lucys.
Yeah.
And their locks. Jackson Eaton. And their front row.
Yeah.
Taylor and Andrew Hoare.
Yeah.
What the hell? The All Blacks just pick everyone in the Super 14. Right, so that was the 26-15, yes, the Blues getting over the Brumbies. The Brumbies lose their second match. Okay, Highlanders versus the Sharks. Right, this was, we picked this, the Highlanders to thump the Sharks. The Sharks have looked pretty woeful on their southern sojourn, but on this occasion, they were handed their balls. No, they handed the Highlanders their balls.
They were handed their balls.
As I was saying, the Sharks caused a major upset when they beat the Highlanders 26-11, Carisbrook and Dunedin on Saturday. The Sharks just got better and better, but you know who was the leader of the Sharks who destroyed the Highlanders, you could say? It was their old leader, Tony Brown. 3 penalties and a conversion, and he had hands in most of the tries. They were just good. Their Springbok wings were probably just a bit too quick and a bit too good for a Highlanders team who probably thought they had the game won just by turning up.
Tony Brown, though, was amazing. He could put the ball anywhere on the field and say, oh, kick us a goal, will you?
Yep.
And he would.
They just played bloody well. The Highlanders have got some work to do this week. Oh, well, that's right. They're playing with a new first five after Nick Evans, who's been sidelined for 14 months.
The rest of the season.
Through a broken collarbone. Chris Smiley, strangely, started off on the bench. I would keep starting him.
Yeah.
So a bit of a shame there. The Highlanders slip back to...
Seventh. Home, the Cheetahs
on
and
the
Bulls.
Table on what score?
13.
So watch the Highlanders. They're not out of this competition yet. And the final game tonight that was played over the weekend, Stormers versus the Cheetahs. Hayden.
We had the
Stormers.
Stormers for this one.
Wait, did he? I think
I picked the Cheetahs.
Yeah.
I was going for the Cheetahs as well, and then I changed my mind.
Yeah, that's right, it was me. Aha!
And anyway, the Cheetahs took this one away 31 points to 25. The Stormers had three tries to Shulkbrit, Tondorai Shavanga, and Ross Skeet. Two conversions of three to Nas Olivier, and a penalty to Peter Grant.
What? Good Afrikaans name.
Shulkbrit. Tondorai
Shavanga.
Tondorai Shavanga.
Ross Skeet, Olivier,
and Peter Grant.
That's
nice. Yeah.
Pierre de Grant. Pierre de Grant. That's it.
No, the absolute best name, possibly in all of Super 14, was the sole try scorer for the Cheetahs, Rhino van der Moer. Once you say Rhino, it doesn't
matter. Nah, just Rhino.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
Ooh. Rhino.
It's R-Y-N-O, though. And he scored the try. He's, I don't know if he's a forward. It's a number eight. The reason why the Cheetahs won is that Maya Bosman kicked eight penalties.
Eight penalties?
Yes. Eight penalties.
Is that a Super 14 record?
I don't know. But he was absolutely perfect. One from one conversion, eight from eight penalty attempts. They're actually saying Maya Bosman will now be in the Springboks just because of this game. So no tries scored in the first half. The halftime score was 18-3. After that, the Stormers got rid of Peter Grant and replaced him with Nas Olivier. So perhaps not enough South African in the team.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Jean de Villiers drew three Cheetahs defenders and created an opening, and Tondorai Shavanga raced in to give the Stormers the lead, 25-21. That's when, from a line-out, number 8, Rhino van der Moer, went from all, got a try, and then they just kept kicking penalties until they bloody won. So that win moves the Cheetahs up to 6th position, just above the Highlanders.
Good work, the Cheetahs.
Yep.
Excellent, that was the Super 14 reviews for the weekend finishing 19th of March. The next segment tonight is the general sports, where we have the Six Nations, which was won by the French.
Vive
la France.
Oui, oui.
But only just, because they had points
points
difference, okay.
Yeah.
But great news for Ireland, who won their Triple Crown for the first time in a long time.
Woohoo!
Triple Crown being the wins over the home nations.
The French did bloody well themselves. I mean, they scored 18 tries in this competition, which is one more than the previous competition record by the French.
Wow.
The French manager, Joe Marceau, said, "We've won 13 out of 15 matches in the tournament in 3 years. We're unbeaten at home in 7 matches since last November, and we've got the new tries record."
The best game, I have to say, was Ireland over England at Twickenham, 28 points to 24. Well, actually, it just coincides that England are really useless at the moment.
Oh, absolutely useless.
Frighteningly bad, in fact. I was listening to an interesting radio thing the other day where they said that the English are just in such a poor state of affairs. They're calling for Andy Robinson's head.
He's saying he's not going.
I should hope not. I don't think it's his fault.
He's putting his foot down.
Good. I don't think he needs to go.
Well, personally, I don't care. If he is a problem, he can stick around. I'm not an English reporter.
But there's good news to hear from Ireland. They say they're building and they're looking forward to their tour down to New Zealand for 2 matches in June. They feel that their backline is one of the best ever. The best Irish backline in a long time, anyway. Jordan Murphy and Ronan O'Hara.
The English don't have the same opinion as the Irish. English fly half Andy Good blamed the luck of the Irish for the visitors' win. Ireland were awarded a dubious first try, and two other close decisions went in their favour. Ireland's first try was down to an error by the touch judge. Replays show that Shane Horgan had a foot in touch.
It was actually the ball. The ball hit the touch.
The ball was in touch?
Yeah, it was quite clearly the ball was in touch.
Yes.
It was quite a bad
touch. Oh, I heard that, yeah.
So they're whinging poms, basically.
Yep. Just let it go, England. We've got some general rugby news now. Green, you've got
big, gigantic rugby news. Elton Flatley has retired from all rugby union, effective immediately.
Oh, I told you, no depth at first five.
Flatley suffered a head injury last year, which kept him out for most of the season. But with medical staff monitoring his condition, he was hopeful of a return this year. Then, last Saturday, after he played the Force, the medical staff were made aware that he had blurry vision. Team doctor Richard Brown and Flatley met earlier this week and agreed it would be in his best interest to retire. Basically, he takes another knock to the head, he could die, that sort of level of injury.
He's got better with age. I didn't think much of him when he started, but he's really come on. He's going to be a loss to them, that's for sure.
He scored 612 Super 12 points with 114 caps. He's got 38 test caps for Australia, debuted in 97 against England, and he scored 187 points, 4 tries, 32 conversions, and 35 penalties.
Nice career. Almost. Did he win anything?
World Cup?
Was he?
Probably in the squad. Elton Flatley, if you're listening, can you please let
us
know?
And you'd like to confirm that. Yeah. I don't think he won nothing. So prove me wrong, Elton.
So we've got Elton Flatley and Scott Hamilton coming on the show. Show goal up.
Okay. This, in a little piece entitled Men Who Show No Mercy, spelled M-E-R-C-I, the most entertaining rugby read of the week goes to the list Stephen Jones came up with, Welsh scrub, and absolute toss.
He's got a giant head.
He does have a very big head.
Giant head.
Yes.
I've only ever seen his head, but not a proportion of his body.
It's because it's covering it, man. It's a full-on, full photo, but you just can't see it. Anyway, he writes on the 10 most frightening French players of all time. He recalled such madmen as Gérald Colli, also a heavyweight boxer, who once laid out 4 Scots in the one match, and Alain Estive, still feared as the beast of the Béziers. Welsh hooker Bobby Windsor has special memories of Estive. When we packed down, I'd hear him say, "Bobby, Bobby," and then his big fist would come through and smack you in the chops. Windsor recalled, "To get my own back, I booted him in the mush as hard as I could." He got up and gave me a wink. No wonder for many years the Wallabies used to fear travelling to France. Eric Schomp, who in a tour match in the south of France in 1989, I gouged at least 3 Australian players, didn't even make the list. Adam, you have some more news?
South African rugby is in a small bit of turmoil again. This is in general. Vice President of SARU, which is South African Rugby Union, Mike Stoffel, says there's no future for black referees in South African rugby. The future of referees is for whites and not for black. It is extremely unfair and unjust. He made his comments after the names of the panel of referees to handle the Super 14 Vodacom Cup and amateur provincial competition in February and March were revealed to him. Stoffel's main bone of contention was the lack of black referees involved in the Super 14 games. Those that are to be involved in the Vodacom Cup are mainly as touch judges. In the Super 14, Louis Mzomba will be the only black official involved, and only as a television match official. Apparently, SARU, South African Rugby Union Referee Committee Chairman Baby Richards, is the one behind the refereeing decisions.
It's going backwards.
Still in South Africa, the South African press is slagging off the Cats, who are now being dubbed the travelling bonus point. I thought that was good. Okay, we move on now to Rugby League.
Quick rundown of the games this weekend. Bulldogs over the Tigers, 47-12, match that we'll come back to. Eels, 22-14 over the Warriors. Broncos, 16-12 over the Sharks. Cowboys, 20-16 over the Sea Eagles. Storm, 22-18 over the Roosters. Panthers, 13-12 over the Dragons. Knights, 70-32 over the Raiders. Whole world of hurt in there.
Whole world of hurt.
And the Rabbitohs had the bye. The Cowboys are sitting on the top of the table, and the Knights, the Storm, the Panthers, the Bulldogs, Roosters, Raiders, and Tigers are the top 8. I tell you what, those Cowboys are going
to
win it.
Cowboys to win it?
Yep. Anyway, on to the other league news. Actor Russell Crowe has...
Russ the Rock.
Yes, Russ the Rock.
Russ the Rock.
The South Sydney Rabbitohs. Him and his mate Holmes of Court have bought them. No, seriously, this guy's name is Holmes of Court. It's Peter Holmes of Court. They're going to pay...
Sounds like a brothel.
How much do you think Holmes they sold for? How much do you think they bought the Rabbitohs for?
Precious Gamala.
Do you think they bought the Rabbitohs for?
A couple of mil.
Three million. For a football team. It's not really that much. I know it's the Rabbitohs. They needed 75% of the shareholders to vote for them. They got 75.8. Crowe said the win meant club had a future with money in the bank. When he was speaking, a member from the crowd interjected. When Crowe tried to silence him, he was taunted with, "What are you going to do? Throw a phone at me?"
Nice. Oh, that'd be awesome.
I think that whoever it was sitting out there going, what I'm going to do is I'm going to interject.
Yep.
And when he gets really pissed off, I'm going to say this line. Yeah. I've written it down.
It's awesome.
My wife wrote it down for me.
It's the funniest thing you've ever heard, guys. Yeah. Been waiting for years to do it.
I'm Russell Crowe and I'll want to fight. Good. Parramatta Rugby League coach Brian Smith has come out in defence of Hamilton. Yep, we like it, says Smith. After Saturday night's victory of the Eels over the Warriors, which was a home game for the Eels. They play their home games against the Warriors in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second consecutive year that they've done it, and the second consecutive year that they've beaten the Warriors. Anybody else can say what they like about Hamilton, but we love it.
See from Canberra.
Actually, every Australian league team loves playing in New Zealand. There's been 10 games of the foreign home games sort of things in New Zealand, so Wellington, Christchurch, Hamilton. And in all those games, the best result the Warriors have got is a 24-all draw against the Bulldogs. Otherwise, they've lost every other game.
Bulldogs winger Hazemel Masri scored a club record 34-point haul in the Bulldogs' 47-12 victory over the Tigers. However, after the match, the main talking point was the clash between Bulldogs' Mark O'Mealy and the Tigers' Bryce Gibbs. Bryce Gibbs, he taunted O'Mealy and they fought and they got sent off. And then in the second half, O'Mealy is running right at Gibbs, smashes into him, knocks him out. He had to be stretched from the field in a neck brace.
I don't like cricket.
Oh no. We love it.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, the cricket, there was New Zealand won the second enthralling test match against the West Indies for the whole 3.5 days of it. Absolute yawn. No one really stood up at all. Apart from Fleming and Peter Fulton had a nice little partnership on the second day for New Zealand. Man of the match, I think, was James Franklin, who took 5 for 59 in the first innings and 2 for something in the second. Brian Lara, much trumpeted greatest batsman in the world, you know, highest test run scorer of all time. So far in 4 innings in New Zealand, he has scored a total of 2 runs. I'm sure he's going to score some runs in the final test. He just has to. Bowl him a few lollipops. Interesting to note that Bond wasn't playing this test. He pulled out about an hour before the test with a viral infection.
Do we bother with Shane Bond anymore?
He's awesome. No, he's absolutely awesome. He's just got a virus. I mean, people get sick.
You're playing backyard cricket. All the New Zealand team are there to pick from.
I'd pick Bondi.
Yep. One day international cricket.
Wouldn't pick the fat kid. I don't know which one's the fat kid. I'm just saying.
I was the fat kid, hey.
Well, I wouldn't pick you.
What if he's like an awesome fat kid?
Like Mark Greatbatch.
Like Mark Greatbatch.
Yeah, or Shane Warne.
Yeah, actually, Shane Warne's the fat kid who I would pick first.
Of all the bowlers who've played in 20 or more one-day innings, Shane Bond has got the best average, mm-hmm. and he's got the best strike rate.
Now we move on to the Commonwealth Games.
Yay!
Ooh, lots went on. We'll kick off first with the Sevens, which was incredible. The Sevens, New Zealand, not picked to do very well. The build-up to the Sevens has not been good. They haven't won many tournaments. But incredible, they won the semi-final against Australia.
Against an extremely dodgy referee. I mean, if we're talking about a bad week for refereeing...
Which we are.
This was shocking. We were talking about this the other night. What the hell was the referee doing? The guy standing up... what's his name?
Corey Jane
is standing up, holding, trying to get the ball off the Australian who's on the ground. The ref says, roll away. The Kiwi who's on the ground rolls away. Corey Jane's still got his hands on the ball. Ref says, nah, you didn't roll away. We were saying, what is he supposed to do? Dive on the ground and roll away? Because he's standing up. And the guy on the ground's holding on to the ball.
He made the tackle. He got up. He did the Richie McCaw. Yep. Aussie was holding it.
Didn't roll away.
Yes, they managed to beat not only a determined Australian side, but also a determined dodgy ref. Nodge them off and make the final against the English, who were surprise finalists after beating Fiji in their semi-final, which is a very good game as well. It was quite interesting because the English got off to a bit of a flyer. Matthew Tate has got some gas. My God, he just burned through the entire New Zealand team and ran into the corner, ran around Amasio Valance.
Valance Rolman
there. Okay. Yeah. It was quite close because the English kept scoring under the posts and the Kiwis kept scoring out wide and Rolman just kept missing all the kicks and the English kept getting there. So it was 15-14 with 4 or 5 minutes to go in the second half. Could have gone either way. Then New Zealanders broke the line, passed it to Liam Messam, who is the best sevens player I've seen in a long time. He's absolutely unbelievable. Awesome. He goes crashing over in the corner. At that time, though, Rolman got injured and he flicked the ball off to Tamati Allison, who's just a machine. And from out on the sideline, just like Dan Carter, he just slotted. Oh, God, it was just awesome. I was up off my seat. And then Josh Blackie, who had another stormer of a game, he scored his second try. Awesome. They went around and did their customary 20-odd haka to everybody in the crowd. It was pretty awesome.
Except the Australian TV cut away to
them. Yeah.
Rumble.
So anyway, big ups to the Sevens team. Brilliant game to watch. If you can see a replay of it, I highly recommend it. Commonwealth Games, anything else?
Australia dominating the medal table.
No surprise.
We don't need to hear that.
No.
Except for our Australian listeners out there who would love to hear it.
Speaking of Australians dominating the medal table, I watched the swimming. Anyway, after the race, they were interviewing these four Australian swimmers. And these are big girls. And they're wearing these things that just make their arms and shoulders look really massive. They probably are anyway. They're all giggling away. We thought it was a really good race. I mean, it was really... And their voices are going up and down. I was thinking, oh my God, these women are huge.
One of the biggest results of the game so far is Malawi beating South Africa in the netball.
Go Malawi.
Where is Malawi in relationship to South Africa in terms of geography? What I'm trying to get at here is I think that they border each other.
I think they're pretty close, but...
Mike, you continue. I shall find Malawi in the atlas.
Okay.
I shall keep
not even using the internet. This is so old school.
Right. Well, New Zealand...
Okay, you don't have to do that because I open the page directly at Malawi.
Oh, well done.
Get a map.
Might keep going.
You open the page on the biography of Malawi, which tells us nothing about where it is.
New Zealand aren't doing so well.
And what?
In everything.
Oh, that's not. I don't agree. Keep going.
You don't agree?
Keep going.
Okay, Spark. They picked that we would get 11 golds and 45 medals in total.
Yep.
And they were relying on shooting, bowls, and tracks like this to deliver. But having said that, we have done well in quite a number of sports.
Mm.
Swimming has actually been, you know, we've been doing really well.
Yeah.
A lot of personal bests,
yeah.
Which is really good to see. Moss Burmester, of course, in the 200-metre butterfly.
That's a gold we didn't anticipate, absolutely. So that's made up for it.
Yep. Moss Burmester carrying on a great tradition of New Zealand swimming in the 200-metre butterfly. But track cycling hasn't been great. They thought we'd do a lot better.
Yeah.
I watched the team pursuit men.
They butchered that, didn't they?
They did butcher it. They were very disappointed.
And they missed out on the final by how many tenths of a second?
It was about eight tenths of a second. Pretty close.
So if they hadn't have ruined their last lap, they would have...
So at the moment, we're only just ahead of such sporting superpowers as Wales, Sri Lanka, Isle of Man, Ghana.
Malawi is on the alongside Lake Nyasa, and it borders Mozambique and Zambia and Tanzania, so it's miles away from South Africa.
Yeah, it's northeast,
northeast of South Africa. The other side of Mozambique from South Africa. So no real rivalry, probably.
Very cool. Right, do we have other sports? Anything? Anyone notice anything? Sports? Oh, just mention that Chelsea lost again today.
Yeah, Fulham.
So Fulham, very good to see. 1-0 from Louis Bonmaté score. So that's only the third loss. Jose Mourinho, who's been apparently linked with Inter Milan. Or
romantically.
He was spotted in a quiet little restaurant, the two of them. Jose Mourinho and all of Inter Milan. An intimate little sort of 400-seat restaurant. Him and the rest of the board of Inter Milan.
Yeah. Mm. Have a table for 12. Yes. An intimate table for 12.
Yes, so that's just, that was that news.
Mike's rolling up his sleeves.
Rolling up his sleeves.
Here we go.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Wake around the world, wake around the world, wake around the world, wake around the world.
You cheated.
I totally did.
You cheated.
And I win.
No, I think Mike won because he stopped first.
Yeah,
but he's.
I was only going.
Just stop. He didn't form them, I form them. I won that one fair and square. I won it fair and square.
Take your hollow victory.
I shall take it home with me. Right, wacky around the world. Here we are, Hayden Green.
The football team with the most expensive cars? Average most expensive cars?
I would guess Fulham.
Chelsea.
I was going to say Chelsea is my next.
The average cost is £104,000.
That's not that.
£300,000.
I would have thought it would be higher.
It could be explained by this. The BMW X5 SUV is the most popular choice of vehicle with players in the Premiership. Chelsea is also
Top
the... Chelsea is also the speed king of the Premiership, with players' cars boasting an average top speed of 192 miles per hour.
Jeez. That's
pretty fast.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Bush challenges Slovak leader to foot race.
Nice.
Yeah. President George W. Bush has largely given up running in favour of mountain biking to ease the pounding on his 59-year-old legs. However, Bush took a look at Slovak Prime Minister Mikuláš Zurinda's broken leg and joked that now would be a good time for a foot race between them. Bush told reporters at the Oval Office that Zurinda is a good runner. And now I feel... That's probably how he pronounced it.
Yeah.
This Mikuláš Zurinda is a good runner.
Whatever you call it.
And so now I feel comfortable challenging him to a race. Had he been healthy, I wouldn't have even gotten on the same track with him. Zurinda replied... Zurinda had the cryptic reply of, "My leg is broken, but my heart is happy." When George Bush said, "I challenge you to a foot race," he said, "My leg is broken, but my heart is happy." I don't know, he's high on morphine.
Air Canada Centre forbids number one fan sign. Linda White thinks the Air Canada Centre should take a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct after refusing to let her son, Brody, into last Saturday's game with his Maple Leaf sign because that was deemed a weapon.
Was it an axe? Is it written on an axe?
That's what they said.
He's going to send messages out to the players via bullets.
This has got your name on it.
Yeah. Go team!
Well, a little 10-year-old with a shotgun.
Yeah.
I've written their names on the bullets.
Yeah.
I'm your fan.
I'm 10 years old. Listen to my lungs.
Anyway, Brody, who was turning 10, was dressed up for Saturday night's game with the same enthusiasm as always. A Leaf jersey, Leaf puckhead, Leaf tattoos across his forehead and cheeks.
Go back to the Leaf puckhead.
The Leaf puckhead?
What the hell is a puckhead?
You know how they got the cheese
heads? You're a Leaf puckhead.
Green Bay have got the big cheese head wedges things. Well, it's a puck.
A massive puck!
Big plastic puck, black thing. Was, yeah,
but it's not a big maple leaf.
No, it's just a big puck with maple blue little sticker or whatever.
Cool.
He has Leaf tattoos across his forehead and cheeks.
Is he allowed that at 10 years old?
Apparently his mum says yeah.
Okay.
He's got a number one finger sign. Awesome.
They're the absolute best signs of all time.
And a number one Leafs fan cardboard sign my husband made. Made pretty badly too. There's a photo of it. It's real crappy looking. It was made for the very first game he ever attended. He has some players' autographs on it, White said yesterday. We were shocked when we were told by the ACC security he couldn't take the cardboard sign into the game because it is considered a weapon. The stick on the back is not much bigger than a paint stir stick. It's really funny. White pointed out that the ACC Sports Centre store sells beer mugs and small wooden sticks for holding pucks. Yeah, this poor little kid couldn't take his badly made sign.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's terrible.
It's political correctness gone mad.
Duck. Too much Dutch. This is terrible. Anyway.
What? No, I didn't catch that. Say that again.
Duck. Too much Dutch.
Still don't get it.
No, neither do I.
Elaborate.
Terrible. A wave of international victories for Dutch darts players has prompted an increase in the number of injuries as people take up the game at home.
The Dutchers aren't that smart.
Over-eagerness caused some of the most injuries, said a spokesman.
Over eagerness, he sounds Dutch. Sorry.
Over, are you throwing the Dutch again? Wait, he's German.
Continue, Mike. We always ruin Mike's things, like laughing and going off on our own tangents. Come on, Mike.
Over eagerness caused.
Little over eagerness.
Over eagerness.
He's moved to Sweden. come on, this is getting insane.
Right, yes.
Over-eagerness caused some of the most injuries, said a spokesman, with players hurling their darts before opponents had finished retrieving their own.
Bloody over-eagerness.
What's the point of that? You're not even going to hit the dart ball.
Get out of the way.
Over! Over, get out of the way. Sorry.
Poorly hung dartboards also posed problems.
Poorly hung dartboards?
Yes.
Cheap Chinese.
Cheap Chinese? Poorly hung. Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying. It's poorly hung dartboards. He's importing them. They're cheap. You know.
Oh, poorly hung, yeah.
Poorly hung, yeah.
Poorly hung.
Yeah.
Often the board falls down on someone's foot. Or worse, on someone's head. About 100.
What are they doing underneath the board? Clunk!
They're picking up the darts. Oh, no! No! They're not. They're lying down there because they're studded full of darts. Ow, oh, my face! Poof! With the dartboard. Oh!
They're lying underneath it.
Well, they've been peppered with all those darts in their back. Just lying there.
Other than the Dutch are hanging them in the middle of pubs. Yes. And they're like, people from everywhere in the pub are just throwing these darts at the dartboard. Finally, it can't take it and just falls on this table and everyone dies. Everyone smashes everywhere.
Pure class.
Yeah. Excellent. Well done, Dutch.
Thank you, Dutch. Nice.
Thanks, Mike.
Good work, Mike. And that was Wacky Around the World for another Wacky Week. Yeah, here we are, Stats of the Week. Sideline Mike, tell us what you got.
The only one I've got this week is the top tackler so far. In total, in all of the matches played, which is 39 to date, there have been a total of 6,174 tackles.
Wow.
Number one tackler is Richie McCaw. He has made 61 tackles.
So,
of those 6,000 tackles, the Force have made about 40.
Yeah.
Wickers Van Heerden is second on 58. Phil Waugh, third on 56. George Smith has 55. And Chris Marsoe has 54.
Thank you, Sidelon Mike. Stats of the week.
Quite all right.
If you've got stats that you'd like us to tell the rest of the world, send them to us at dropkicks.podcast@gmail.com. Here we are at Dick of the Week. Nominations.
I got a couple of nominations. They're not actual players of the sport. They are followers of the sport. First nomination is for the fan of unknown origin who beat up an English fan at the Sevens in at the Commonwealth Games. There's this Pommy bloke there who, when England scored against New Zealand, cheered and, you know, was quite happy for his team. Mm-hmm. Someone took a swing at him, smashed his nose, and then there were these other guys, two guys, and they came up and they just started beating him up. They had hands around his throat, he had big bruises around his neck where they had their hands. They didn't say that they were New Zealanders, and it wasn't technically implied. I just think they were other fans, so they were possibly, they could have been Australians still in the crowd watching from the previous games. They could have been from anywhere.
Yeah,
but they took offence to this guy and they just beat him up for supporting his team.
That's crap. They could have been from anywhere because that crowd was just full of everybody because everyone was just watching Sevens.
Yeah. I really hope it wasn't New Zealanders because we're not really known for football violence in that sort of respect. We tend to be kind of good. So these two unknown assailants are my first nominee.
Yep.
My second nominee, exact same situation, the Canterbury Bulldogs fans in the stands attacking West Tigers fans. Even though they're winning and their team's doing really well, I'm not a fan of Canterbury because they are a thuggish team with thuggish fans. Their fans cause problems. A couple of years ago, had a riot through a train station or something after a match, and they're doing it again. They fought in the stands, they had to be escorted out. The police chief in that area where they play their home game said that he will take every measure he can to stop them, and if that means segregating them from other fans or excluding fans completely from matches, that he will do so.
Mike?
No, I've got no other nominations.
Should we just make it fan violence in general?
And
just
fan violence.
It happened after, it always happens in English soccer, but after the Fulham-Chelsea game.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Chelsea fans are mongrels, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it might have been Fulham fans as well.
Probably.
Running on the field.
I think that's just bloody disgusting.
Gang violence at the kickboxing in Australia as well.
Oh,
Hells Angels versus some other gang I'd not heard about. Starting a fight, knives and pistols, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, bad form, everyone. Calm down, just enjoy the sports.
Just sit there and enjoy the kickboxing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Let them do the fighting.
They're the professionals.
That's right.
Just let them have a go.
Yeah. Fans, dickhead fans, who are just dicks.
Idiots. Fan violence. No good.
If you're there for fighting, don't come and watch the sports, you buggers. We hate you. Dicks of the week. Right. Athletes of the week. Moving on to
something. Athletes of the week.
Athletes.
Athlete of the week. Nominations. Green.
I nominate Gordon Titchens.
Titch? Excellent.
Coach of the New Zealand Sevens team. The team that is the only team, as far as I know, that's completely undefeated in all Commonwealth games.
Sevens rugby? Yep.
Rugby. 17 out of 17.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Quite a record, and of course Titch is the super coach who's got them there. So many world champs and stuff behind him as well. But athlete because he's got bung knees and he ran onto the field
when
they won.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been riding a bike around because his knees are bung.
I mean, yep, 17 wins from 17 attempts, that's a record that will probably never, ever be broken.
Unless they come back next Olympic Commonwealth Games and beat it.
Yes. Oh, but as a coach.
Oh, as a
I
coach.
I don't think
no.
that any coach will... Oh, I mean, you never know.
He could still come back. He's not old.
He stands out as something that there's been only kind of two real coaches like him, Matt Tupou, who've had long tenures as coaches of teams in this country and have shown that long tenures in recent memory, long tenures in the age of professionalism, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Long tenures can mean success, and I think they, I guess Clive Woodward as well. Hate the guy, but you've got to take your hat off to him for being there for 8 years or how long the top, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do and won the World Cup.
Yeah.
But Titch, I mean, that's, 16 years. When was it? 92 he took over, so 14 years he's been at the top of the coaching New Zealand to the top of World Sevens. Big nomination there. The entire continent of Australia gets a nomination for being such incredible athletes.
Oh, yeah. One giant, annoying continent of people who win
everything, whose government just decide, right, we're going to give lots of money to sports and you're going to win everything.
And they do. There's no disappointment, really, for the Aussies. They didn't win every gold in the pool like they said they were going to, but
Boo-hoo-hoo.
Hell of a lot of them.
They've got, like, double the amount of gold medals that England has.
Currently,
England.
Currently, Australia's on 37, England's on 15.
That's just... That's insane!
That is also due, though, to the fact that the Australians will, because they're hosting it, they basically enter everything. And so, over the last eight years when they realised they were getting it, they've targeted the sports where they weren't doing especially well, and they said, right, we're going to get that lots of money, advertised, who wants to do well in the sport, people signed up, and they just said, right.
But then again, they do well at the Olympics, when the Olympics
true, but in their chosen, in their, you know, specialist fields,
yeah,
like
true,
the,
swimming.
Like swimming.
Yeah.
And
cycling,
triathlon.
They tend to be, unfortunately, they tend to be good in the sports that we tend to be good
yeah.
at.
Yeah, it's because they copy us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nodding.
Sevens.
Okay, I have a nomination. My nomination is for every silver and bronze medalist that celebrates their bloody heart out when they win silver and bronze.
Yes.
That's just, I think they're so... Yes. That guy who came home for the bronze medal in the triathlon behind Bevan Doherty. Doherty was, oh, yeah, awesome, thanks. The guy coming in third was just celebrating his bloody heart out.
Yeah.
He was just thought it was the greatest moment of his life, and I thought that was awesome.
And that's pretty good considering he's a world champion. He's a three-time world champion.
Yeah.
And he was celebrating his bronze medal. That was amazing.
I mean, it's a bit of an Olympic moment sort of cliche thing, but I think those people who celebrate coming second or third is just bloody
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
So there's some serious... Oh, and also I think a nomination should go to the Malawian Netballers.
Really cool.
So there's four nominations.
Unless they come through and they beat New Zealand in the finals, in which case we...
We take that back. Well. Immediately retract. It would be really funny. Dicks of the week this week. Two Malawians. Right. How are we going to do this?
Wait a minute. Does that mean Malawi are in line for the bronze medal? I mean, who's... I mean, Jamaica is the third,
Jamaica
right?
and England are pretty good as well.
Yeah. Oh, England, that's right. I always forget about them.
How are we going to do this? How are we going to choose this week? It's pretty... There's four nominees.
Dart!
Brilliant!
Yes.
Do we have a dart? Over!
We have a dart!
Over! Where's he gone?
Well, we could... do we get, like, a highlighter? I'll hold this up. In front of my face. You can, like, throw it at it.
That will hang it precariously over your head. Alright, here we go.
This is a live darts match here where Hayden will attempt to...
You want me to aim for your thumb?
No.
Okay.
Hayden's proceeded to throw the pen in which it landed on its side.
Across all four.
Giving no indication of what the laws of chance...
Oh. Okay, Mike hit the bottom of the page.
Mike sucks. Alright.
At least I got ink on the page.
Oh, a little bit closer.
Bottom. It hit sort of side.
It's just below that.
Just
yeah.
There, yeah.
Shouldn't it be by merit? Shouldn't it be by class and hope, Tom?
Okay, let's do this from the
rear. From the air. Let's do this from the air.
Two bronze medals. Who are they going to go to? No matter what, I'm sure they'll celebrate. Malawians will
Malawi
have...
Bronze.
Bronze.
Malawi bronze.
Malawi get the bronze. Entire continent of Australia.
Silver.
Joint bronze. Then we have the titch and the silver medals. Silver and bronze celebrators. Titch.
Titch gold.
Titch gold.
Yeah. Yeah, alright.
You know, who knows, the silver medals might get it, might return next week.
And win a gold.
And win a gold, yep. But yeah, Titch. I'd like to give Titch his moment in this, because he deserves this.
Yeah.
So, our athlete of the week, Sevens legend, Gordon Titchens.
Yay.
Yeah.
You couldn't really give, like, the silver and bronze winners gold anyway, because that would be, like, a lot of fallacy.
They're probably celebrating getting that silver.
Yeah. It would probably, you know, rip the fabric of the space-time continuum.
Of course.
And
they were always destined to get the silver, weren't
they?
Yeah.
And they'll be celebrating too. They'll be loving it.
Mm.
Good. Okay. Right. That's Athlete of the Week. Okay, we come now to our final segment of the evening. It is the previews for next week's, or for this coming week's, Super 14 matches. First game to look at will be the Hurricanes versus the Sharks, Friday night. At Wellington Stadium. Mr. Sideline Mike.
Well, Hurricanes coming back from South Africa, quite a successful time over there, 2 wins out of 3. Yeah, one has to wonder if it's going to be the same sort of thing as what happened to the Highlanders last week, coming back from, you know, big
ambush,
a long way back. And it's the same team that ambushed the Highlanders as well, the Sharks, who haven't been playing that badly, to be honest. They only just lost to the Crusaders by 2 points, only just lost to the Brumbies by 5 in Canberra. They did lose by a fair margin to the Waratahs, but on the whole, they've been playing pretty well, and of course, winning last week. So it's not going to be a cakewalk to the Hurricanes, that's for sure, I don't think.
No, I think you're right. The Sharks will be buoyed by the result in Dunedin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tony Brown is looking good. So,
toughie. I'd still go for the Hurricanes. Because they, as far as I know, they don't have any major injury worries, apart from the ones who are already out, like Conley Smith and what have you.
No, they've returned relatively unscathed from to their room, haven't they?
Yep. Paddy Whipper's back playing,
Yep.
So,
it'll be close, though.
Firstly, I think 1 to 12 to the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. 1 to 12 to the Hurricanes?
Yeah,
Okay, the next match is the Waratahs versus the Blues. This is late Friday night in New Zealand time. It'll be 9:30. Waratahs over the Blues. Ooh. As far as I know, there's no major injuries. The Blues.
Troy Flavel, I think, might not be playing.
But they've got back Luke McAllister.
Daniel Braid. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Excellent. Daniel Braid might not be playing. Angus McDonald is back. He actually played in the last game. Came on as a substitute.
It's totally like... going against the whole, no major injuries. Obviously, I haven't done my homework. Right, so it'll be interesting.
They have a few players that come
back. Oh, and they'll get back their sevens players as well. All the sevens players.
One of them, that's true.
Yeah.
Doug's still injured.
But he's pretty close, though, they're saying, to coming back.
But Waka Saduadua and Joe Rakitoko. substitutes in my opinion, probably better. No. So that'll be an interesting fight, I think. I think this is the Waratahs' first real test they've had. They haven't really played any matches yet.
Blues hadn't won last week, I wouldn't have said it was the Waratahs' first test.
Blues just beat the Brumbies.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm thinking is that whole regression to the mean. A team has a certain level of goodness. And the Blues may have been playing above it last week. I think they're going to run the Waratahs close, though. So. I'm just playing devil's advocate at this point.
Yep, okay. Yeah. I'm actually tempted to keep back in the Blues. I think they needed it.
With Lottie Takiri back in the team, who was looking real good in the sevens.
I think if McAllister's back, depending on whether they start, he probably won't start, though. But... I just think, the Blues have got such a strong pack. We talked about this earlier. They're littered with All Blacks throughout the team. This was a much bigger win than their scrappy little load of rubbish against the Reds earlier in the season. Reds are absolute gash.
This was a really good
win. Whereas this was a very good win. They put together a lot of good rugby. They're going to carry a lot of that into this game, into this next game. I think no one picked the Sharks to beat the Highlanders.
No.
But... And this is, I think, the same case. I think the Blues are going to ambush the Waratahs. That's just me.
Has he convinced you, has he convinced you, Mike?
No, not really. I'm still going. I think Waratahs 1 to 12.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Who's tested the Waratahs? Who have they played? They've played the bollocks at the bottom, basically. The Force, the Cats, the Reds, the Sharks. Who'd they lose to?
Bulls.
Which were a good team.
Yeah. In Pretoria, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So, like I say, they haven't really been tested, and the one they did get tested, they were found wanting.
Yes. So they're
third on the table.
They're 1-1 against other teams that wear blue.
Ooh.
Draw.
Yeah.
50-50. Where's my coin?
Hey, you know what?
I've got a coin.
This could be a game that could go to a draw.
Hey, we are a long way back in this.
Listen to Mike, the voice of reason.
No, but... Double points if you pick a draw.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we picked a draw and they draw, then...
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were like, now, careful, boys.
No. Full in.
I like your blue logic, though. Your fuzzy blue logic.
Yeah, they're 1-1 against teams who wear blue.
How about the Blues?
Another team that wear blue.
They played the Highlanders and they lost.
Played the Highlanders and they lost. Oh, do the Brumbies count as wearing blue? They wear like a dark navy.
Yeah, I'd say they're predominantly blue because their shorts are dark navy too.
Well, then they're going to lose to the Waratahs.
No, it's a win and a loss.
Oh, a win and a loss, isn't it?
So it's a draw again.
Come on, guys!
All right.
Let's pick the draw.
We're picking the Blues to draw with the Waratahs on the flimsiest of evidence.
fuzziest of evidence. And you can... We challenge all of you out there to do the same. and email us if you do.
Well, it's,
When it happens...
And we'll name all the people on the show who went with us.
Yes.
On our crusade to stupid statistics.
And we might even find them a prize.
Yeah, who knows?
We may have some prizes here for anyone ballsy enough to put out to put a draw, Blues versus Waratahs. Come on, people. Get on board. Next game we have is the Cheetahs versus the Reds in Bloemfontein.
Yes, this game will be 5:30 in the morning on Saturday. Ouch. If you are keen and living in New Zealand, of course. Mm. I went to the Reds' brand spanking new website today, and
it's brand spanking, isn't it?
It's brand spanking.
It's so hot.
There's along the top they've got these Reds players and they've got steam all moving
possibly
around.
Possibly smoke.
Them.
Their shorts may be on fire.
And ugly uniform.
Yeah,
really
real ugly.
Mm. Kind of purple, not red.
Yeah.
Anyway, they and not even maroon. According to this new website, they play ink red-able rugby.
Oh.
I know. Which is kind of stupid. I get it. Yeah. But they don't.
No, that
they're
absolute
like
right.
Right down the bottom of the table. So, people who aren't playing for them, Elton Flatley, who retired, as we talked about earlier, and Chris Latham.
The pirate.
Who injured himself in the sevens. He's suffering rib cartilage damage. The funny thing was they x-rayed him after he hurt himself in the sevens and discovered that he had a broken rib that they didn't even know about.
Arr, my lungs! That would be the bone sticking in it.
He's been carrying it for the past month.
Oh man, the pirate's awesome.
So they don't know, like, considering that he's been playing, they don't know how long he'll be out for. They're saying somewhere between 1 and 6 weeks.
They're considering x-raying the rest of his body just to check. There's no doubt he's been playing without a leg.
Turns out he's been carrying massive gunshot wounds for the past month. Nobody knew.
And a wooden leg. And a hook. And an eye patch. The pirate. Oh my god, he is. Okay, so Cheetahs, Reds.
And the Cheetahs have no discernible injuries that we can see. They had a few last week, but a lot of those guys are back playing now, including Kambaba Flores,
who had
13 tackles
this week. Tackling flanker. Okay, they've won two in a row. They're up to sixth on the table with 3 wins and 2 losses.
I like the Cheetahs.
I like the Cheetahs too. Well, a lot, actually. Well,
13-plus?
13-plus.
Brumbies Chiefs in Canberra.
Be so dull. They're going to come out. They're both going to be half asleep.
No, the Brumbies won't. They're used to it.
Oh, the Brumbies are used to it. That's right.
Won't the Chiefs be used to it as well?
Well, that's a good point. They come from Hamilton.
Oh,
they come from the boring town as well.
Mm.
It's going to cancel each other out.
Then again, their stadium's not called Bruce Stadium. So nice they called it Bruce.
What I'd like to hear is that
only stadium with a mullet.
That'd be awesome.
With a retractable mullet.
Oh, man.
As it comes back, it's like coming down the back of the stage.
Okay. Are we going to pick a result there? Brumbies, Chiefs. Brumbies coming off a loss. Chiefs coming off a bye.
Oh, this is pretty coming.
This is
close
a tough
game.
One, yeah.
As I said, the Chiefs did have the bye, but they also, the last game they had was the loss.
Yeah.
But it was a good loss. As a loss can be good, it was a good one against the Crusaders.
That's right, it was. And they're playing absolutely brilliant rugby right now.
They are, but will that bye get rid of the steam? Chiefs, 1-12.
Why not? We've done it every other week.
Yeah.
No, we'll pick them 13
plus. 13 plus.
Yeah, Chiefs 1-12.
I think it'll be a good game. I think they may catch the Brumbies with their pants down. Highlanders Cats in Dunedin. Highlanders, no injuries that I am aware of. The Cats, however, have sent home a whole truckload of Springboks.
Klein Jan Tromp. The lock. And Rico January. Trevor Hall.
They're sending him home. He's actually a New Zealander.
That doesn't sound right.
He got on the plane with them by accident.
He's a back, I think.
Is he Full Trevor back. Vandenhall?
Yeah.
And Yori Muller.
Yori Muller. Yes, all Springboks, all former Springboks.
Highlanders 13 plus.
I think so. I think they've had a week to get back home and get back drinking and getting out and sort of relaxing again.
Anton Oliver won't be doing that. He'll be sitting with a cup of tea and a book of poetry.
That's right, a cup of tea, a book of poetry. The Cats, I think the Highlanders will bounce back.
Josh Blackie's back.
And finally, the Force versus the Bulls in Perth.
I've got notes about the thing, but what I gathered, I was looking at the news feeds, I was reading the stuff about the Bulls, I was reading the stuff about the Force, and it all distilled down to 3 points. First point is, the Bulls are pissed off, the Force are crap, Bulls 13 plus.
Yeah.
I can't see you being wrong on any of those points.
No. However, now I will go into some detail. Nathan Sharp is out. Well, that is to say that he's doubtful. Wow. On the advice of medical specialists, Nathan Sharp was hospitalised from heat stress and dehydration. This was after they played the Reds. He is expected to play against the Bulls, but perhaps not starting. Sharp's position at lock has been filled by Pat O'Connor.
By a tree.
We're gonna put a
tree there.
And Scott Farber will also return to the team.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, miraculous recovery by Scott Farber. Did you see Faber. It at all?
Faber. That's what he's called. What the Aussies call him. Anyway,
Did you hear about him at the Simmons?
He got injured.
He was trying to tackle a Fijian. The Fijian palmed him off.
Dom.
I didn't say anything.
Faber fell backwards and hit his back of his head on the ground.
Oh.
And knocked himself out. And apparently he is convulsing on the field.
Oh,
and his wife came down from the stands and they stopped play for 10 minutes. And they took him away to hospital. And he was in a coma for the whole night. 11 hours.
Jeez.
And then he woke up the next morning and said, "It was where am I?" It was fine. It was perfectly okay.
Did he jump up? Did he fend off a few people and run in the field? Wait a minute.
What's this thing doing in my arm?
Wow, that's crazy.
It is very bizarre.
I'm surprised security let his wife come out of the stands, to be perfectly honest. When you said that, I was expecting you to say security tackled his wife.
Oh, right.
Wow. Well, he's all right now.
Yeah, good. Exactly, yeah.
So, expecting to return. Yeah. Okay, and I went to the Bulls site to look for their injuries. They have 4 injuries. Their injuries were listed in Afrikaans. So, for example, Ruan Vanderburg is Wheat Tot 27 Maat. William Alo is Wheat Tot 10 April. Kennedy Simba is out with his knee, or nai. Ut to Julie, which is spelled Julie, by the way.
Oh, lovely.
And Gerthro Steenkamp is out with his...
No, that's the iron. That's an iron. A Gerthrod Steenkamp. That's like an engine or something. It's like a train.
Well,
it's not on time.
Gerthro, and he's got an umlaut over his O. Gerthro Steenkamp is Ut to 2007.
Oh, God.
With his Gurig. And what I tried to do was I tried to translate this in Google's translation service, and I translated the page in German, because that was the closest thing they had to Afrikaans. And what it said was, instead of saying wheat tot whenever, it said dead until. So, Ruan Vanderburg was dead until the 27th of March. Actually, Ruan Vanderburg was ruin of the Berg. And I'm not.
Oh, nice.
I'm not stuttering.
Mm.
It was ruin of the Berg.
of the Berg.
Yeah, but this
guy's gonna be dead till 2007.
Gerwig, or whatever it was, Gurig, was not translatable in any language that I could discover.
So what it is?
Gurig, Gewrig.
No.
Oh, buttock.
Really?
Ooh.
He's out with his buttock.
What's he done to it?
I don't want to know.
If you know what he's done to it, right in. Let us know. What Gerthro Steenkamp did to his buttock.
Yeah.
That's kept him out of rugby till 2007.
By the way, if I didn't say it before, Bulls 13 plus.
So, 13 plus.
And, 13. Yeah, 13 plus we're going to go with. And Crusaders Stormers have the bye this weekend.
Yep.
So, thank you very much. That's another cast done for the evening, for the week. Last word, Mr. Green.
once again, I don't have a last word.
We've got to start remembering to do
I want to send out our condolences to Gertrud Steenkamp for hurting his Gerwig and for having a sore Gerwig until Wittstot 2007.
How's he going to sit down? He needs to get one of those little rubber rings.
Yeah, or an artificial one. Not an artificial rubber ring. An artificial buttock.
Look after yourself and each other.